Household paragraphs 13 through 15, which are from continuous paragraphs, page 234. This recording begins on page 233 with the last paragraph as an introduction to the intended paragraphs 13 to 15. This is from the chapter Footsteps of Truth, SH 8. Efficacy of Truth. When numbers have been divided according to a fixed rule, the quotient is not more unquestionable than the scientific tests I have made of the effects of truth upon the sick. The counterfact relative to any disease is required to cure it. The utterance of truth is designed to rebuke and destroy error. Why should truth not be efficient in sickness, which is solely the result of inharmony? John Sinton provides this scientific analysis. As the text matures in the understanding, it will be seen with increasing clarity how soul, spirit, mind complete the office of scientific translation to make possible the ascending footsteps of mankind through mind, spirit, soul in their Genesis order. Hence the interweaving of these two sequences in the text. And on the next page, there is one more paragraph as an introduction to the intended text regarding the group of household 13 to 15. Spiritual droughts heal, while material lotions interfere with truth, even as ritualism and creed hamper spirituality. If we trust matter, we distrust spirit. Now this page 234, according to John Sinton, is focused on the synonym of mind and on the first of the four great offices of being, as he describes that in the last paragraph of the introduction to volume one of his series on the scientific translation of science and health. And the office here to begin with is the word. To refresh, here's the text at the top of 234 as an intro. Spiritual droughts heal, while material lotions interfere with truth, even as ritualism and creed hamper spirituality. If we trust matter, we distrust spirit. The first paragraph in this series of 13 to 15 of Household begins with the title of Crumbs of Comfort. Whatever inspires with wisdom, truth, or love, be it song, sermon, or science, blesses the human family with crumbs of comfort from Christ's table, feeding the hungry and giving living waters to the thirsty. Next paragraph, hospitality to health and good. We should become more familiar with good than with evil, and guard against false beliefs as watchfully as we bar our doors against the approach of thieves and murderers. We should love our enemies and help them on the basis of the golden rule, but avoid creating pearls before those who trample them underfoot, thereby robbing both themselves and others. This is the end of the section which John Sinton refers to as being the Word, as the first great office of being. And under the synonymous term of mind. John Sinton's scientific analysis. Part two of the chapter is written from a standpoint designed to meet the human need, whether in the individual or in the family. The adaptation, Crumbs of Comfort, is a starting point for the spiritually hungry, but spiritual droughts and living waters are for the thirsty. Observe the wisdom shown in loving our enemies on the basis of the golden rule, but avoid casting pearls before those who trample them underfoot. The third paragraph, which is household number 15, is now under the second office of being, Christ. And mind continues as being the focus of the synonymous terms. Cleansing the mind. If mortals would keep proper ward over mortal mind, the brood of evils which infest it would be cleared out. We must begin with this so-called mind and empty it of sin and sickness, or sin and sickness will never cease. The present codes of human systems disappoint the weary searcher after a divine theology, adequate to the right education of human thought. John Sinton's scientific analysis. At this point, the word reflecting Christ shows the necessity for keeping proper ward over mortal mind by clearing it of the brood of evils which infest it, by emptying it of sin and sickness, and guarding against re-entry. Note the marginal heading, cleansing the mind. Word reflecting Christ alone provides a divine theology capable of this. Great stress is laid upon this necessity for adequate watching, for true self-control in the first instance to prevent reoccurrence. I am continuing with the next paragraph as John Sinton includes his scientific analysis with the above paragraph, so it appears to go together very succinctly. Sin and disease must be thought before they can be manifested. You must control evil thoughts in the first instance, or they will control you in the second. Jesus declared that to look with desire on forbidden objects was to break a moral precept. He laid great stress on the action of the human mind, unseen to the senses. And this is being continued to the next paragraph because they are all under the same marginal heading of cleansing the mind. Evil thoughts and aims reach no farther and do no more harm than one's belief permits. Evil thoughts, lusts, and malicious purposes cannot go forth like wandering pollen from one human mind to another, finding unsuspected lodgment if virtue and truth build a strong defense. Better suffer a doctor infected with smallpox to attend you than to be treated mentally by one who does not obey the requirements of divine science. John Sinton states this about this last part. Evil thoughts and aims can be rendered powerless through keeping one's watch. The spurious activity of mortal mind is symbolized by wandering pollen. Wandering pollen and unsuspected lodgment are types of disorder and symbols of the sin to be uncovered. Added note, when thinking about these marginal headings, the intro, which was efficacy of truth, and then the three that are the focus of this group of household 13 to 15, which are crumbs of comfort, hospitality to health and good, and cleansing the mind. These are all laid out in a beautiful sequence, and it points, I believe, to a focus on not only mind, but also spirit. Spirit of kind of the atmosphere, while the action takes place from mind. And by the atmosphere, I mean that spirit represents pureness, and it's the only substance. And being pureness and also transparency and reflection, that indicates strongly that that is a mind that is already cleansed. For it is a jump from the human to the divine. And when the subtitle or marginal heading is cleansing the mind, that's a small m, so it's an obvious reference to the so-called human mind. In order to do this, I believe it really is an exchange of thoughts about what the human mind is, and all of the dance of mortal mind that's involved in that, and exchanging that for the divine mind. Because we can't really improve error, we have to replace it. So it's really cleansing the recognition of what mind are we going to accept as being real, and which one are we going to dispose of because we have learned that it is unreal. It's like tossing out an improper product in mathematics if it is stated that 2 plus 3 equals 7. It is just immediately exchanged for the truth, which is 2 plus 3 equals 5. We don't improve the 7. We get rid of it altogether. We discard it, and we accept and focus on the truth, which is 2 plus 3 equals 5. And it seems that cleansing the mind is exactly the same situation. In fact, in this last paragraph of cleansing the mind, Mary Baker Eddy states, we must begin with the so-called mind, that's a small m of course, and empty it of sin and sickness, or sin and sickness will never cease. So we have to clean out any idea that that so-called mortal mind is real. Then we will have an opportunity to cultivate the real mind, cultivate our recognition and acceptance and demonstration of the real, divine, infinite, incorporeal mind. That's the end of this series of Household 13 through 15 with the extra readings.